I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto's College Street is considered one of the busiest streets in the city. According to the City of Toronto website, thousands of residents and cyclists go through the corridor each day, despite the lack of protection and clear-cut division from ongoing car traffic. Plans to construct protected and elevated bike lanes begin this month, from Bay Street to Manning Avenue. Also, a motion to extend the college cycling network will be brought forward by City Councilors Diane Sachs and Alejandro Bravo in the coming days. Today, cyclist and road safety activist Robert Zakowski joined CGRU to discuss why he believes the city needs to implement more protected bike lanes and expand its cycling network overall.
Yes, so I'm Robert Zakowski. I'm an accountant, a founding member of Community Bikeways, and author of the Two Wheel Politics bike blog.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a bit more about your participation in, the cyclists and their rights and everything in the city?
Yes, yeah, so I'd been advocating for safer streets for about a decade now. I first started with Cycle Toronto, including being a former board member and had been involved with one of their ward advocacy groups. And then Community Bikeways, used to be known as the Toronto Community Bikeways Coalition, we started in May 2020 with the goal of building 100 kilometers of bikeways along subway lines and busy suburban bus routes to help essential workers get around during the pandemic. We've since shifted focus to deal with accountability, amplifying community voices, providing thought leadership at the City Hall, and organizing fun events such as the annual Cycling Good Cheer Rides.
I know that there's a lot to still be done in the city, but you've mentioned it in your Two Wheeled Politics blog, the progress or the change that has happened in the last 10 years. Can you tell me more about those changes, please?
Yes. So in that blog post you referenced, we have come a long way over the past decade. Like when I started, Toronto had removed bike lanes on Birchmount Pharmacy and was just about to remove the ones on Jarvis. The bike lane network at the time was largely disconnected, and the ones in the suburbs like Scarborough, Etobicoke, and North York were practically non-existent. Whereas nowadays, there's still a lot of work to do in those inner suburbs, but we have a 16-kilometer continuous east-west bikeway along Bloor Danforth, going from Runnymede Road to Victoria Park Avenue. We got them on University from Bloor to King, and Midtown Yonge from Bloor to Daysville, which just became permanent last month. And as for the progress, back in 2012, there was maybe 110 kilometers of bikeways, which took about 35 years to build from when the first bike lanes on Poplar Place were built. And then it took another 10 years to double that to the roughly 220 kilometers that exist today.
Mm-hmm. So right now, in terms of the College Street upgrade on bike lanes, why was this stretch across the city important to see these improvements?
Yeah, so right now, the College Street bike lane goes only from Manning to Bay. I understand that they'll do a short eastern extension to Yonge Street as part of the Yonge Tomorrow project, which covers from College to Queen. And they're actually upgrading the bike lanes to cycle tracks over the next couple of months. We feel that it's critical to extend those bike lanes out west to Lansdowne, because it would serve several key bikeway connections, such as the Poplar Shaw Street's Cosflow Road, the Bartlett Havelock Gladstone Bikeway, which, part of it's been built, but another part for College to Queen's supposed to be in the works either later this year or may get deferred to next. Then you got a quiet street on Brock, which is heavily used by those who bike. And then you got the ones on Lansdowne, which go under the rail tracks. So One thing that I would suggest for improvement is that Councillor Gord Perks at Parkdale High Park needs to be called out to extend the Dundas bike lanes from Sororn Avenue to Bloor Street so that the College Dundas Bikeway could be more continuous.
And I guess right now for the current motion that Councillor Sachs and Bravo want to bring forward, why is it essential to extend the college bike lanes as well?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, extending the college bikeway would connect to those neighborhood roads such as Shaw, Barla Havelock, Gladstone, Brock, Glanstone, and oh yeah, I forgot to mention that it would provide a more direct connection to the West Toronto Rail Path. But one thing I should clarify about this motion is that it only instructs the city to one, add the college extension to the 2025 to 2027 near-term cycling plan, and two, to have the city start consultations. Like, I will still have to return to council for a final vote.
Okay. So right now, what we're seeing a lot is the upgrades on a lot of these bike lanes. So, they're more protected, they're more elevated. Why do you believe like this is becoming the norm now, and why did it take so long for this to be implemented?
Yeah, so I know that protected bike lanes were not even considered until the first ones were installed on Sherbourne Street back in 2012. And one thing we have noticed is that when the bike lanes are not protected properly, people who drive will inevitably block the bike lane, which puts people who bike at a significant safety risk. Not to mention that during the winter months, having a protected bike lane is a lot easier to clear from snow during the winter months, which, if you clear the bike lanes of snow, you'll encourage more people to bike year round. And as for why it's taken so long, like, I found that it's been only like over the past decade that, like, not just cycling advocates, but the community overall has been demanding their elected representatives to make their streets safer for everyone, because we know that protected bike lanes don't just make the streets safer for those who bike, but it's also safer for those who walk and for those who drive, because for drivers, it a protected bike lane it lets them know that they can expect people who bike there.
Along with the proposals for College Street, are we seeing that, you also mentioned Dundas already, but are we also seeing that in other areas across the city?
Yes, in fact, one example I'd like to give is on the Parkside Drive. I remember attending a virtual Sunnyside Community Association meeting in May 2021, and even though like cycling advocates had not been that involved, the local residents there had already been calling for protected bike lanes on Parkside to reduce the instances of speeding, which has claimed the lives of several people, including Valdemar and Fatima Avila back in 2021, as well as Oliver Sabater on a motorcycle. I think that happened in 2018.
Okay. So right now, we're at a transition point out of COVID-19. And we've seen a lot more of enthusiasm for expansion and safety for cyclists, especially with Active TO and Transform TO. Like, what else can we expect now? Like, is this the new norm of what we're gonna see of more road safety, more accessibility, and more of like a transition away from the cars and more to cycling?
Yeah, so yeah, Transfer TO, there is that goal that we want 75% of trips under 5 kilometers to be done without a car by 2030. But back in 2019, there was an item included in the Vision Zero 2.0 update, which stated that roads need to take a a complete streets approach by default, as they are due for reconstruction, including studying the feasibility of bike lanes. And I was looking at the public consultations over the years. I noticed the more recent ones, like they're making sure the bike lanes are protected right away, and they're starting to look into protected intersections. Yeah, we got the first one installed near York University last year, and there's supposed to be another one installed at Lawrence St. George sometime this year. And then there are a couple of other interesting projects coming up, including the Bloor West to Complete Street, which will extend the Bloor bike lanes from Runnymede to Six Points by 2024, probably to Royal York this year. And then in the east, you got the Danforth Kingston Complete Street project, which will aid to extend those bike lanes to Kingston and St. Clair by this year, and the Scarborough Golf Club next year, which that street too will also get protected bike lane. And then you got Eglinton today, which from Keele to Mount Pleasant, that stretch could be done later this year, subject to council approval. And we're hoping that the remaining gap from Mount Pleasant to Brentcliff can be done next year, so that we look at those two streets, you'll have not one, but two 30-kilometer continuous east-west bikeways, which if you'd asked me 10 years ago that this would happen, I wouldn't have believed it.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Before we go, are there any other final thoughts you'd like to add?
I'll just encourage people to continue getting involved in the process by attending public consultations, signing petitions as they come up. And when the various cycling items come to City Council, please email that Infrastructure and Environment Committee and copy your city councilor so that they know that, we have to support these to have safer streets for everyone. As you know, June 26th, there is the mayoral by-election. And last fall, Community Bikeways, we issued three calls to action, which include one, tripling Division Zero funding to $75 million annually, two, reduce the speed limits to 30 kilometers per hour on residential streets and 40 kilometers per hour on arterials. And three, complete the spine bikeways along Bloor, Danforth, Kingston and Yonge Street by 2026. At that time, over 40 candidates had signed on. 12 of them ended up being elected, so just shy of a majority. And then, for the mayoral by-election, we have two additional asks, which are to support transparency for the Gardner East funding. They actually came out with a press release yesterday. And the other thing we're pushing for is for mayoral candidates to renounce strong mayor powers that the Ford government granted.
That was Robert Zukowski. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.